Welcome, 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 everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Happy New Year. We are back with another episode of Positivity Spartans. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are, and that's what we do on this show. We keep it moving forward. How's everybody doing today? I'm your boy, Isaiah Hubbard, back with my co-host, Marcellus James, joined today by a special guest, Will Bracey. How's everybody doing today, gentlemen?
I'm doing well. Happy to be on the podcast. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining, man. Thank you for joining. Marcellus, man. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Positivity Spartans has hit its second decade.
You know what I'm saying? We in there.
I'm just excited for us to be recording again, man. So
absolutely. You know, the holidays and everything going on. We took a little break, man. I had the COVID, y'all. I had the vid.
Yeah, man,
I lost my sense of smell, sense of taste. It really wasn't that bad. Like for me, as far as sick wise, like I wasn't like sick to the point where I was immobilized. It was more just had the COVID, lost the smell, lost the taste. And every now and again, like a couple days during the 2 week incubation, my body was kind of weak. But other than that, back and I'm better, stronger than ever. Ready to get back to the gym, man. I'm gonna tell you what, man. I miss the gym more than anything being in quarantine.
I'd say probably that 14 days, man, of not being able to do anything. How was that?
It's challenging, man, mentally, because it's like you're in the house. You can only play so much Xbox. There's only so many shows on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? Hulu. No matter what streaming service, you can only watch so much, man. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I was cooking a lot. just trying to find stuff to do, I ain't gonna lie, man, to leave the house, I would just go drive around in my car, you know what I'm saying, just stay away from people and just like maybe go on like a 30 minute ride just to get outside, get some fresh air, you know what I'm saying. But it was brutal, man. Like I don't recommend it, man. Like I'm an introvert and I still don't recommend it, because it's just like knowing you have to stay home makes you want to go out even more.
Man, I was supposed to go on leave for Thanksgiving to go to Texas, and literally like 36 hours before my leave started, boom, phone call. Hey, you're on quarantine 14 days. I'm like,
jeez. Yeah, man, I was tight, man, because that happened the first time you were supposed to come.
Yep.
And then when you did come is when I got the COVID.
It just wasn't in the cards, man.
It's crazy though. So,
but yeah, you get to like day eight, and it's like, I'm still here.
right. Like you done did everything in your house that you thought you could do.
Man, I cleaned this house from top to bottom. That was.
Oh man, look, we got hand sanitizer in about every room. I got cleaner wipes on deck, the Lysol air spray. I ain't playing no more, man.
Just washing your hands every 30 seconds.
I'm telling you, every time I pass a hand sanitizer bottle, about three squirts, boop, boop, boop. You know what I'm saying? I could have just washed my hands. I'm still going to do it, man.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that's crazy, man.
It's insane. Just that knowing that you have to stay home is like, one of the worst feelings, because then you're like, man, it isn't too bad. You want to go to the grocery store? I can't do that.
Right. Right. Can't go to the grocery store. Can't step out for things you need. You want to order food. You got to do contactless delivery. It's like, it's a whole new ballgame, man. It's totally different.
DoorDash trying to come up.
Yeah. My thoughts definitely go out to anybody who has the vid, COVID, or knows anybody going through it, because it is tough, man. It's tough.
Now, how did that work? Did you have to go get, like, how did you know? Did you just feel different and had to get tested, or you knew someone that had it and then you went to get tested?
Yeah, my girl had it, and I was like, well, we've been together like last week, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it was like, might as well just quarantine, because for sure I had it, man.
Yeah, I
feel that. I was in denial. And then I'm sitting there and I was trying to smell something and I couldn't smell it, and I was like, oh my god. So I ran to the room and I put Vicks on my nose, and I was like, can't smell the Vicks. I was like, yeah, it's official. I was like, it's official. Lost the sense of smell, man, and that was it.
Jesus, that's the crazy 2020, man.
Yeah, it was. It was a very interesting year, you know, to say the least, honestly. Because 2020, man, it's like, I joke about it because it's like our fourth apocalypse we survived. You know, Y2K, Anthrax, I mean, all the other good ones, and COVID was just the latest one in a string of records I can add to my, you know, my accolades. Surviving.
That's why I tell people, I said, I'm just trying to make it into the next textbook.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, 2020 is definitely one that's going to be in the history books. Our grandkids are going to be reading, like, man, all this.
6 days in. Got 6 days in.
Oh, yeah, 20. Oh, my goodness. Look, man, that is just, I don't even know what to say about that situation.
We'll cover that on
the And on that note, let's go into today's topic. ladies and gentlemen, we got Will Bracey here, a good friend of ours from back home. Will, man, say what up to the people. Let them know who you are, just so they know who you're talking to.
How you guys doing? I'm Will Bracey, CEO of Reform Hoops Basketball Training.
Love it.
Head men's basketball coach of North Schuylkill Spartans first year. Just got a couple games in, so that's just a little bit about me. Just motivated daily, just to get better and better myself.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, bro. That's the main goal here on Positive Spartans. This is what we do, man. We motivate. We move forward. How long you been coaching, my brother?
Since I got out of college, so this is my fourth year.
Nice.
First year as the varsity head coach. Started out. Seventh nice. Grade.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It's been different.
Yeah.
A lot more responsibility.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because it's not just you now. It's you and the whole team.
Yeah, the team. Now I got in charge of the JVs, the ninth grade, the eighth grade, the seventh grade, just making sure the whole program's running smoothly. So it's been an interesting and fun process so far. Two games in. And some growth to go. Let's leave it that way.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about, man. You know, we all basketball players here. We've all played together, and over the years, our game has evolved and developed, and it's just part of the process, man. But you
that's
know,
a fact.
Having a great coach like you, man. Look, I'm gonna be real, man. You're one of those guys I hated playing, man, because you had the IQ. You know what I'm saying? If I cut you off the baseline, you know what I mean? You're not going to go baseline. You're going to come off that screen and you're going to hit the pop. And I'm like, God damn it, man. Here's another one.
it's crazy you say that because, like, man, I was such a late bloomer. Like, I talk to people back in Lebanon about all the time. They'll tell me, like, man, like, if you were like this when you were in high school, man, we would have went to the playoffs. And that. I'm like, man, I tried. I just wasn't there yet. Like, it's
Yeah, people everybody has later. Their time, man. It's crazy because it was like over a summer, man. It's like I stepped on the court with you and I was like, oh, my man has stepped his game all the way up.
Right, because he transitioned. He was playing football and then he went to basketball and then all of a sudden he lost like, what you lost, like 60 pounds or something like that?
Yeah, 60, 65. I went from like 310 to 225.
Damn. And then it was like, I came home on leave like, that will.
Right, straight up.
Here we played, and I was like, oh, Will got better. I came home another time, and it was like, Will is way better than me now. I don't even know what's happening.
Right, for sure, man, for sure.
So that's how it works, man. That works.
Yeah, just putting that work in. So tell us about your training, Will.
And so my training, it's started taking off. Like, I started – last year, really like diving into one-on-one individualized workouts and like some group sessions. And at first, being in a new area, gaining that clientele and gaining trust of some of the local people here took a little bit. But now I'm over like two dozen athletes that I work with. Nice. It sort of slowed down since my season started because my priorities are now shifted to the team. But it's nice. I love giving back. Like I said, I was a late bloomer, so I understand how much this game could do for you and like if you put the work in where you can get to. So it's just something I really enjoy to do, something I find passionate. So can't complain.
For sure, man. That's dope. I mean, like you said, you're doing something that you have passion in. And you mean, when you do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's the truth. That's the truth, man. You work for someone else and you really don't realize it sometimes. Just like, they like, sometimes not all companies, but some companies are just about the numbers. Like, they just keep you there to have a body.
Oh, for sure.
And then something happens, you can't make it to work. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right, see you later.
Yeah, the United States Army. I can say that now.
I tell my soldiers all the time, get what you're going to get out of the Army, because they're going to get what they want out of you.
Man, for sure.
That's the truth.
Man, it's definitely great to hear that you're doing what you're doing, man. Because, like, we haven't spoken in a while, you know what I mean? Like, so getting to talk to you here, you know what I'm saying, and seeing what you're doing and everything is great, man. Hearing that, like, you're in a position that you want to be, where you're doing something that you love, man, I love to hear it, because I love to see the people that I grow up with doing what they love to do, man. Because, I mean, it's all we can ask for in this crazy life, is to be able to do something that we're passionate about and not have to worry about the other extra stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, man, if I want to go coach basketball today, but I got to wake up early for work. Nah, man, that's your place of duty. I mean, that's what you get to do. You know what I mean? And that's amazing. You said you were in a new area. Where are you at now?
Like the Schuylkill County area. So, like, from Lebanon, okay. That's about an hour 15. So it's not too far, but just far enough. In the woods.
Yeah, you're far enough. It's definitely challenging, you know, when you move to a new place and you're trying to, you know what I mean, start your own journey, your own business, because that clientele, man, is key. If you ain't got the reputation, man, it's tough to get it from the ground up. Network from, like, without many
connections.
Yeah, connections, opportunities. It's definitely hard to network from the ground up.
And especially like I went to school like in this area, sort of, like, but my school is like 40 minutes away, but it's like still considered Schuylkill County. Mm-hmm. But like how everybody here is, it's small towns and everybody talks to everybody. And to get the parents to trust you with their kids, like that you're doing the right things and like you're not taking their money, like you're not BSing them. It's something like I really had to earn. Like I started off and I started doing it. I had one client, someone messaged me. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And like I just do the best I can. Try to explain the game to them and then do stuff that will benefit them. I know a lot of people like see videos on Instagram and like they're dribbling through 1,000 cones and doing 1,000 moves. And one thing I always tell people is like, don't go outside yourself. Like if you don't know what you're doing, people are going to know. Like they're like, you're not going to be able to fake people. Like just do what you know. Because that's what you're most confident in. And then the kids will pick up on that and they know that you're actually there for the right reason. So,
right.
It's been interesting, but like I said, my clientele has grown, word of mouth and social media, man.
Two big
influences.
You got a website, man. So we can put it in the description or link. I mean, just for people in the area might want to get in contact with you.
Yeah. It's a reformhoops.com. A website. You could book through there. But like I said, right now with basketball, it's sort of really busy. Especially with COVID, like I can't even tell you the procedures we go through on a daily to get in the gym.
I can only imagine. I was on ESPN before we got on the episode, and like the NBA is even cracking down now. They're talking about you can't even dap hands at the free throw line.
They're going back to the bubble too.
Oh, are they going back to the bubble?
I heard in February. I think they're going back to the bubble.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, COVID is. COVID, like we were saying earlier, man, it's strange because it's just messing up our daily lives so much. Because like before, that's not even something you would have had to think about in your training plan. Like, all right, how can I keep COVID implementations to keep all the kids safe and still give them an effective workout and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. And especially in the winter with the gym time and the gyms only allowing like X amount of people in the gym, it's super tough. In the summer, it wasn't terrible because you're outside. You could socially distance and
more people could be at the park and things like that versus inside where it's indoors clamped up.
Yep, no ventilation or anything. So you definitely gotta be safe. Always carry sanitizer, Clorox wipes, you know, wipe the balls down in between workouts. but
right,
definitely different.
That's
so well, you're our age, right? 27, 28.
I can't give out that information, man. I'm trying to get my government out of here.
But I'm just trying to put it on like in perspective how big it is that you have a head coaching high school job at this age.
Yeah, for sure.
Where like, you know, most coaches are in their mid to late 30s. So
yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah, all my basketball like coaches were older, like way older dudes.
Yeah, I'm 27 and it is young to be younger to be a head coach at this age. And like I said, it's something that I have to continue to get better at. That's one thing that I know and I'm not going to be naive about. But I know like I'm going to continue to put the time in. And right now I'm taking a couple lumps and our team's working hard. So I'm just hoping it comes together with all the hard work that we do. So it is – I'm definitely young and I'm definitely still learning. But I'm excited and the challenge has been good. The guys have been responding and just hoping that it all comes together.
Yeah, you should take your progress, like, whatever that freshman group you have and see what happens when they're seniors. That's how you'll see your progress, you know what I mean?
Right. The development of players.
Because who's, like, a senior now, there's a lot you can teach them, but you have that development of two, three, four years or whatever, and you'll see that impact later on.
That's true. It's just sort of like that class is going to be the class that's known me the entire time.
Yeah, right. The class of Bracey.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, what's the – so you said you played two games already, right?
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere like in those games with COVID?
It's different, man. Like, no
– Yeah, I can bet.
Like, we played – our first game, we played – the team up here, they're called Pottsville. They won 11 mm-hmm. District 1 titles in a row.
Whoa.
Yeah, their head coach just retired this year, but they – 5A school, we went there, and only home fans were allowed, and they have this big arena, and it's just like nobody's cheering. The kids have masks on. It's hard. It really takes away from, like, their communication, and you have people coming over to you.
The kids have to wear masks while they play?
Yeah, man.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Yeah, so I told them, I said, I don't know how you guys do it because I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, playing college, playing in high school, like, I couldn't imagine having to wear that mask. So, I'm telling you, these kids are some warriors, man, through and through.
Yeah, that's tough.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's definitely love for the game right there. You playing with a face mask on. Sheesh.
Yeah, so, like, we have to practice with it on, too. So, it's a... Yeah, like I said, it's some challenges, but it's definitely different. Not having all those fans there. It's sort of an empty gym. Got to create your own energy. You only have your bench there, so something to get used to. Something I hope that we don't have to continue to do for a long period of time. But
right,
never know.
Right, right. It's definitely crazy that you have to. That you even have to deal with that, like that we even have to, like it's even a precaution, man. I can't get over that enough, man. COVID is just something else.
Yeah,
it's just something else because practicing, running around with that thing, it's like you said, I don't know how they do it because even just like going to the supermarket, if I'm in the supermarket too long, I'm walking around Walmart, man, glasses start to fog up. I'm starting to breathe a little heavier now. I'm like, all right, it's time for me to go.
Yeah,
it's time for me to go.
Well,
walking that parking lot, I'll be feeling like you know, when you clear the mask for your gas NBC. Mask.
Yeah. What's your social? Say your name.
You're right.
What's the alphabet? Here's some milk. Like, what?
You're right. Like, how's any of this helping me?
For all of you that, because we're all veterans, but that's the gas chamber experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, got to put that out there for the non-vet folks. The gas chamber, man. One of the – oh, man. You want to talk about having to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Struggles with basic training ever.
Seriously, though. Maybe send you up to give you the milk. Like, oh, this is going to make you feel better. You start throwing up afterwards. Like, oh.
Yeah, there's some pictures and videos from basic training. I'm glad I never got out to the public.
All right, so quick story, right? So, you know, you only normally just go in basic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get to my first duty station, Fort Lewis, Washington. Every year we went to the gas chamber.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Right? Fast forward. I get to Germany. And I'm like, whew, I'm going to be in Germany. Never have to go to the gas chamber again. New first sign comes in. Hey, guys, we're going to go to the gas chamber. I'm like,
what? What? Does it get easier?
I was so mad. So if you keep your eyes open, mm-hmm. really, you're good. I feel like once you close your eyes, you panic.
Okay.
But if your eyes are open, for the most part, you're just like, all right, let me get out of here. And then you spit a little bit, keep moving.
Yeah. No, the first time was terrible, man. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to die, dog.
Get me out of here.
Right.
At first, I thought I was immune because I was like, you know, I don't really feel.
Right. Right. Take the first few breaths. Cycling your lungs, man. Oh, it's crazy. God. It is crazy.
Yeah, it is wild.
But, so back to the training and everything, so we can stay on topic for the folks, because you know we are still in the health is wealth section. So we're going through with Will Bracy, for those of y'all who are just listening, tuning in, going through with Will Bracy, so we can talk about some of his basketball training. I want to ask, what's the youngest like client you've ever taken?
I had a 3-year-old. I've done camps for like 3, 4, 5 year olds. I've done camps for like day camps.
Okay. Wow.
And they like, they're young and there's not a ton you can do with them. So you sort of like let that be known before you start with the parents. Like, are you sure? Like, this is what we're probably going to do. Probably going to be like 30 minutes. Cause like at that age, their attention span is so
ooh, basketball. Ooh, a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. And like you're talking. And this is the great part. Cause like you're talking like older kids. You have more conversation with, but like now you're talking to the young kid and you're like, how can I get him engaged? Like, what can we do? So like, like for people who have young kids like that, I just tell the kids to dribble around the lines. So like up the foul line, across the foul line, try to stay on the line, go to the baseline, around the 3-point line, take it to half court and just stuff like that. So now they're concentrating, they're trying to dribble it. Now do it with your right hand and then they'll start to struggle. And then some kids get down, but you just got to tell them, it's okay. And they go back to the left hand. Like, three is the youngest. I've done camps for 3, 4, and 5. So.
And what's the oldest?
I've trained my one college teammate who plays professionally. I helped train him. He asked me to train him for a couple months. So that would be the oldest. He's 26. So.
Nice. That's
wicked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From 3 to 26. And like you said, the training methods vastly different.
Mm-hmm. Like when you get to that pro level, now you're like, how can we enhance your game? And you got to just be honest with that person, like where they struggle and what you see they can get better at, and then talk to them and see what they want to work on. So I will say when I got into it, I thought I'd have more of the high school age kids. Mm-hmm. And that's like the least of my clients. Like I have probably 5 or 6 kids that are currently in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the kids I have are like 5th grade, 6th grade type of kids.
Early developers.
Yeah. So I think those high school kids are sort of a little, sometimes you think you know it all before you.
Oh, definitely.
Before you have
I'm going
to
tell you what, I did not want to do any strength and conditioning training in high school. Like, man, they were saying, like, I don't need to do this. I can already jump. You know what I'm saying? I'm already taking contact. But I can definitely see why they're not. Because like you said, they feel like they know it all. They feel like they got to figure it out. And then once they start to get to that next level and they're playing competition just as good as them, then they want the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. You got to have sort of a setback and you have to step back as well. And realize, I try to tell some kids, like, and it's hard to, it's like, you're not working hard enough. And it's hard to tell somebody that and then not be like, defensive about it. Like, what do you mean? I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And it's like, they won't understand until they get to that next level. And they're like, oh man, Jason comes in here at 5:30 every morning. He's doing ball handling, got 600 shots up. I'm coming in here at like 10:30, shooting 50 foul shots and getting out of here. So like,
right.
Like sometimes, some people need to like learn what real work is and like see someone else do it in order to realize, oh, that's what he's doing. That's why he's able to do this and that.
Yeah, on the level that they're on, for sure. For sure, man. Because this basketball is one of them games. You get what you put in. You know what I mean? If you put in the work in the off season, it's definitely going to show up on the court.
Yes, sir. And especially it's just confidence. of making that, making continuous shots. It's the only game you could shoot 600 shots and you may only get 4 shots in the game. Like, but you need to make those 4 shots. Like,
right. Those 4 are crucial, man.
Exactly.
Like Shaq says, got to make the ones that come.
So you were doing Zoom classes, right? For your coaching, for your training
club? I was. I had, they're like coaching conferences.
Okay.
And those were some of the most insightful things I've ever been a part of. I got to talk to head coach Larry Brown. He used to coach Allen Iverson, the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. Oh, Sixers fan over here, bro. Look, I'm giddy right now. Where's my man Larry?
And he's like I'm telling you, like the knowledge that those guys have. Like I talked to some D1 coaches, John Jones of Boston University, some guys from Villanova, like assistant coaches and like what are they? Can't even think of what they're called, but like volunteer assistants at Boston College, and it's just been a ton of knowledge that they give out, and it's like, man, I don't know anything yet. Like I know stuff, right. But they know real stuff. Like, I need to think about this. Let me write this down. You start writing, and the best part about being on those is you think you're the only one getting stuff, and there's 3, 4, 5 D1 coaches, and they're writing notes down like, oh, I'm going to use this. Like, and they're like, hey, guys, I'm writing notes too. So, like, we're all learning. And
right.
That's the one thing that when talking to Larry Brown, he was saying, he said, don't try to be the new genius. He said, I was never a genius. I wasn't the Dean Smith, Roy Williams making stuff up. He said, this stuff has been around for a long time. Find something that someone else did that works and copy it. He said, don't try to be the new genius. He said, Lex is still around for a reason. Like,
right.
So, and he was telling stories about Allen Iverson, man. He's a funny guy. But like I said, that's been some of the best experiences that I've had to gain knowledge and insight from those guys. It's really humbling when you think about it. And you're like, oh, I know basketball. I got high basketball IQ. You talk to these guys, and you're like, that's next level.
Right. I don't know nearly as much as I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man. That's dope, man. To talk to, you mean, arguably a Hall of Fame coach in Larry Brown. You mean to pick his brain and get that knowledge. That's incredible. You know what I'm saying? I had said something on Facebook the other day is, networking is the GPS to life. You know what I'm saying? Because it'll take you places that a degree can't. Because you mean like that right there, just that interaction right there.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know it, but you know what I'm saying? Like you said, it made you a better coach because you learned some things that you didn't know at the time. And I mean, you're not going to get that sitting in the classroom.
Yeah, that's the truth. And he said, a lot of people are afraid to share knowledge with each other. He said, but the game isn't about you. It's about the kids now. Like, you're not playing anymore. Right. So like he said, that's one of the reasons he jumps on to conferences like this, because it's about helping the next generation and keeping the game great. So that's something I always try to do. Like, I have a couple coaches that I brought on that this is their first year coaching, and they told me they're learning stuff from me. I'm like, man, I just started and I'm learning stuff from you. So like the knowledge of just sharing and just having a great network is something that is truly underrated and definitely needed, because telling you, man, it's only been a couple months and I've already had phone calls like, man, I need a little bit of help right here. What am I doing wrong? And sometimes you're not doing anything wrong. It's just you have that will to be better. And it just sort of sucks sometimes when you're in the lead and some things aren't going right, because you get all that on you.
Yeah, you kind of put it on yourself, but you just got to trust in your system.
Absolutely.
Trust the process.
Yes, sir. I wish I got draft picks, too.
For sure, man. Definitely got to trust the process. I wanted to ask, so what's it like? Like, so is there like a recruiting, does it ever come to like a recruiting period for like high school coaches? Do like kids in the city ever, you know, like just want to switch schools to come play with you or play with guys that they wouldn't, like that they know at the park, or does that not happen as often?
So here, like I'm at a public school. So like We have some Catholic schools around the area that do some recruiting. We don't personally do that.
Gotcha.
But there are some Catholic schools, some single A schools that have 4A talent because they recruited. And like I said, it's good for them because they're allowed to. I don't see a problem with it per se. But for me, it's sort of having to build a strong foundation through our program. And that's what, sort of what I'm working on now. I want to see what we can do. I know the guys that I got, seniors I got now, the juniors, the sophomores, they all work hard. So I have four freshmen up with us on the varsity. So they play JV, but they're up with us. They're practicing with us. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah, when they were in their seniors.
Yeah, those years of playing on varsity, it's going to show their senior year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, man. That's dope, though. You know what I mean? That you get to be in that atmosphere. Because, you know what I mean? I'm a basketball fan myself at any level. You know what I'm saying? And being here in Texas, I get to watch a lot of those high school guys like, you know, Cade Cunningham, who plays at OSU now. I get to watch those guys on TV just because, you know, Texas airs a lot of high school basketball. And you can see like Marcel says, at that senior year, you can tell when those guys have been putting in the work. You can tell the guys who are, you know what I mean, who really want to take it serious, who are listening to the things you say and who want to push to that next level, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, with you saying you want to build a great program, a great system, that's gonna be real successful for you, bro, because you know, you're at that level where kids are only with you for like 4 years, you know what I'm saying? Three years at most, so you're gonna have guys switching in and out. If you got a great system where you could just plug the players in, you know what I'm saying, you're gonna do great things, my man.
I appreciate it, and I hope I can. They say a lot of games are won in the off season, so that's the best thing. Right. So get people here in the off season, right. Get them lifting, get them strong like you guys, and I'll be fine.
It's a trainer right on top of that. Like, coaching's done. All right. Coming to the training program.
Right.
That's the only downside, though, is like, especially high school sports, they really frown upon you like being with the players out of season. So
really?
Yeah, it's like a no-no. You get in trouble for it. So
that's so awkward, though. I mean, because wouldn't you want your coach working with your team in the off season to be better?
Yeah, it's definitely something like, they told me like I couldn't do it, so I haven't tried to do it.
Yeah,
look for the rule book, because I mean, if you think about like football, like dude, we were doing weight training, you know, speed camps, all that throughout the summer. So
yeah, I think it might just has like to be at the school. But I know, with COVID, like I didn't get any summer workouts with my guys, so. We didn't get any summer workouts. We came back. We were supposed to start on November 28th, like because they didn't let a guy play football, or they did cross country, or they did golf. They didn't let them come to the 2 weeks that we even got. Usually we have like the whole fall workouts, but they only started the fall workouts like the beginning of November. So, but if those guys played out of sports, they couldn't come. So I was running a 2 week workout with like six guys. So, like, we weren't really doing much but getting shots up. And then football guys came back. Then they shut us down up here in PA. So really been trying to fit this thing in a matter of we've been back since last Monday and had two games already. So we had 4 days of practice before our first game.
So, yeah, y'all just kind of baptism by fire.
Yes, sir.
Season's here. Get some practice in it, and let's go.
Yes, sir. And it's – like I said, it's been a little challenging start for us, but I think we played two of the best teams in our league to start. So you can only get better from challenges like that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like playing top tier competition sucks at times, but it definitely makes you better.
That's the truth.
Definitely makes you
better. Only way is through.
Man, because I'll tell you what, when I moved from PA to Texas, my game had to change drastically. Because not everybody was like 6 foot. There was dudes 6'6" now. Crazy long arms. And like, oh, man. Yeah, this athleticism ain't going to go over like I thought it was.
It's crazy, right? It's like you just go and the different styles of how people play in different areas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, like, yeah. When I was in Europe.
Yes.
Oh, man, they played so fundamental. It's like, you guys are so boring, but you guys are so good.
Right. It's like watching the Spurs play.
Like, our team was, like, mostly Americans, and we had a few Germans. So, like, the refs would call us for travels for the weirdest stuff. So, we had to change our whole motion of how we played. Like, in America, you know, you take that step, then you dribble.
Right.
In Europe, they want you to dribble, and then you step.
Wow. So, it's so, like,
yeah,
like FIFA rules. We were getting
travels called, like, the first four games, like, nobody's business. Just – every time you turn your head, travel, home.
End of the game with 16 turnovers as a team.
Mm-hmm. And then we play a lot more aggressive, so they were calling a lot more fouls and stuff. So we had to change our whole entire game just to play.
I hear that a lot, especially, like, I know a couple people that play overseas, like, and they tell me that a lot. And it's understandable just because of the way the game's played. That's why when they come over, like Luka Doncic, for example, the NBA, there's so many more athletes that the floor's opened up for those guys. So, like, that's why they do so well when they come over here too, because they already been playing fundamental. Now the court's wide open,
right?
And it's just super beneficial for them.
For sure, I'm a big fan of Luka and Denny Avdija in Washington. I like those two European guys, man, because like you said, they got the fundamentals. You know what I mean, they're 6'7" guys with. You know what I mean, like long arms, can shoot the rock, can play defense. The league is real. I like where the league is at. Let me just say it like that. As I'm watching the Lakers Houston game,
Houston's getting beat down. Last time I saw, I got an update.
They're down, but you know it's a game. I lost my train of thought of what I was gonna ask. What are some of your favorite drills that you like to work on with your players?
I'm a big believer in, like, ball handling and building your game from the ground up that way. Because if you can dribble the basketball, that means you can get anywhere on the court. You can help create for others. So I do a lot of two-ball handling, a lot of, like, just having the ball in your hand. It's something I call paint the circle, where you're in a big middle half court. Usually there are circles at the half court line. And you're inside a circle, but you have to paint the circle. So what that means is you have to bounce the ball everywhere in a circle, like the ball is a brush. And you're you're trying to get up front, you're trying to get to the back, and you're mixing up your dribbles. And it's just a good way to build confidence and a little bit of quickness of trying to get places and making sure the ball bounces. And now you're a little intense with it. So that's one of my favorite things to do with them. Other than that, form shooting's big with me. Always break it down.
Mr. Tulsa.
You always got to break it down. Right. Like, kids don't understand. I'm like, did you make your 15? Yeah. Like, but did you really make your 15? No, I didn't do it. I was like, well, that's why you're shooting 25%.
Right. Like that. It's the nuances, the steps, man. Balance, eye contact, elbow room, follow.
Yes, sir. It's the truth, though. Beef. It's boring. It's boring. If you want to be great, it's boring because it requires you to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And a lot of people don't have the patience for that. They're like, "Why? If you can make a right-hand layup and beat your guy off of two dribbles, why don't you do it every time? Because it's not going to get on the highlight reel and ball is life." And
So. You're trying to be on somebody's Twitter feed.
Yeah. It's not the fun thing to do. Like,
for sure.
Everybody wants to be Zion.
So, What's the most frustrating part of coaching?
Coaching or training?
Well, let's go both. You do both. Let's hear both.
Right.
Let's see. Training. The most frustrating thing for me, and the one thing that I had to learn was, like, not everybody is gonna learn the way you learn, or how you learn. So, like, it gets frustrating sometimes when you're trying to teach something, and it's like, man, why aren't they getting it? And then you just have to step back and be like, all right, what else? How else can I explain it? What else can I do to maybe have to change something up? So sometimes I get frustrated with myself because, like, you expect someone to know it. And then they're like, oh, man, this needs a little bit more work than what I thought. And you find something else. Coaching. Not frustrating, but it's stressful. Like mm-hmm. right now I'm on the phone with you guys, but I'm watching film. Yeah. And like it takes away from time from your family. And it's something I love to do, and they know I love to do it. So they're real supportive. But that fact that now this entire program, 12 through 7th grade, is your responsibility. And when you go out there, like I said, we played some two tough teams, and we lost, and we got handled in one and let one slip away and sort of got handled in the second half of that game. And you go back home, and it's just on your mind, like, man, stink, like, what can I do? And it might not be like that, but you actually that you suck, but it's like you feel that you feel that level of responsibility.
Yeah,
because like
almost a little that pressure.
Yeah, so like it's something that I have to get used to, and that's why you need to have a real big support system and people who are there to tell you, oh man, just stay the course, or this is what you can do. And I always reach out to my college coach and a couple other coaches that I've been able to have the pleasure to talk with. And I would say that's the big thing, is just that extra responsibility. And especially if you want to be great, you take things and you're like, man, I'm 0-2 right now. Am I doing a good job? What can I do better? And now you're staying up, and your assistant coaches might not stay up. But like now, you know, you have to, because you want to right the ship, and you're always looking for something else that you could do better and ways that you could fix little things. So that's something that I've learned more of as the head coach. Like an assistant coach, you could sort of go home, watch the film and be done. Head coach, you're planning the practices, where we're stopping to get food, stuff like that. So it's interesting. It's fun, but it's definitely a lot of responsibility and a lot of stress. So you just have to stay positive and make sure you have a strong support system around you.
For sure. I like it's the behind the scenes stuff that we don't get to see, man. I like how you dove into that. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know what I mean? You're going home and you're watching film to see the defensive schemes, you know what I mean? To work on the offensive schemes, to figure out, you know, why that back door cut didn't work right, because your big man didn't set the screen like he was supposed to. You know what I'm saying? It's those things people don't see, you know what I mean, where you're giving up your time, like you said, from away from your family and just your personal time, just to become better at your craft and make those kids better. That's awesome. That COVID got me, because I'll be running out of breath very quickly now, man. I'm telling you, COVID is no joke. But another thing I was going to say, you had mentioned the support system. Now, a lot of people, when they hear support system, they think, oh, they're the people to cheer you on when everything's going good. Nah. When you're, you know what I mean? Like you said, when you're 0-2, when you're in the basement trying to figure out what's going on, that's when the support system is so big, because they're there, like you said, to let you know, hey, you know what I mean? It's just one game. You're going to get the next game. Or, hey, you know what I mean? You're doing a great job. You're putting in the effort. Things are going to happen. You know, that goes a long way. That goes a very long way. Because when you start to feel discouraged, them little, you know what I mean, positive affirmations, I mean, they can give you that momentum you need to take it into the next game.
Yeah, seriously. And it's like, what you'll think about is, and you'll come home and you'll be like, man, especially like I'm young, so I'm like, man, is this stuff going to work? Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, but sometimes you're not doing anything wrong, and it's just a process. And sometimes you just need to step back and just have someone say, like, it's all right. Like, you're doing the right thing. Just keep pushing. And sometimes your support system has to be honest with you too. But like, sometimes I come through the door and it's been like, why are they rebounding? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you teaching them? Like, it's like, because sometimes you need the honesty too. Like, when I come home, I know I'm never going to get anything held back. I know they're going to tell me. They're watching live streams. Yeah,
it's not going to be sugarcoated. They will be like, yeah, y'all looked a little sluggish out there tonight.
And like, you spend all that time and you're like, yes, some nights it doesn't roll that way. The big thing, especially high school, is one coach that I talked to said, you're never going to get the same 17-year-old back-to-back days. Right. Like, they're not that mature yet. And like, so much stuff is going on in everybody's life. So like, and like, when you look back at it, when you were 16, 17, you're like, man, I wouldn't do the things I did then that I do now. Like,
Yeah, right.
So like it is different doing that. Like they're not professionals yet, and some of them may never get to that level. So
right.
How do you get the best out of that kid? How do you put them in the best situation? So it's fun. I hope I could do it longer, and I hope I could do it at a higher level. But like it always starts here, and you got to make sure you're doing everything you can now to get those opportunities.
Yeah, you're definitely in a great position, like Marcellus has said. You know, being a high school head coach so young, man, it's rare. It's rare to see, especially, you know what I mean, like around our area.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, these old heads know everything.
So, for sure, man. For sure, I know exactly what you mean.
I remember, like, my first year was seventh grade. I coached seventh grade. Then the next year, I got moved up to JV. And I'm not going to lie, my first year, there was, like, some games where I was, like, I went home and I was, like, that guy outcoached me. Like, you can feel when that stuff happens. Like, when you're playing a game and, like, they hit you with a crossover, you know, you like, maybe you can't guard them or maybe they got you today. Maybe today's their day.
Right.
Coaching, you can feel the same thing sometimes. Like, I remember when I was JV, like, there was, like, a couple games where I was, like, ah, he got me today. Like, he outcoached me, and like I still know who they are, so I'm gonna get them back. Trust me, like, and I took that personally.
It's so much fun coaching, though. It's so much fun because like when you have like I did it as an assistant coach for I think we had 15, 16 year olds. So the head coach, like we were just bouncing back and forth. We had a third coach, and like when we meshed all good together, the players were good. You know what I mean? Like we were on the same page. The players were rolling in. They were getting rotated right. We put them in at the right times. And, yeah, like, that coaching stuff is powerful because you're just moving chess pieces at mm-hmm. that point.
And it has to start from the top. Like, you have to have that unified voice. And I would mm-hmm. say, like, when you take over a program, it's tough because, like you said, now I'm here. So, like, the kids that are coming up from ninth grade to eighth grade, seventh grade, they'll know me as a coach. But for – how many years is how many, like, the 12th graders now have known their last coach. So now how can you get them to buy into what you're mm-hmm. telling when they've been doing something completely different for X amount of years? So it could get challenging at times. So.
For sure.
It'll click.
Dealing with all those different personalities, different attitudes. And like you said, they're 17-year-olds who don't know what they want to do. So that's definitely a challenge, man. Respect to you for you know what I mean, going through that, you know what I mean, having the fortitude to buckle down and be able to get into those kids' heads the way you do, man. That's what's up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm doing my best.
Man, for sure, man, for sure. And that's all you can do. You know what I mean? You put out your best effort, it's gonna show up on the court. What do y'all So what's some of y'all hype songs for practice or pregame? What's some of the music y'all be bumping?
Man, these kids nowadays. They be listening to Little Toilet Paper and stuff. Like, I don't even know these rappers, man. I said, I was like, it was a summer workout. We had got like one or two in before like all this crazy COVID stuff. Or it was a spring workout. Like, what do you guys want to listen to? And they said some crazy name. I said, I don't know who that is. We're going to put on some DMX. Yeah.
Right. Y'all about to lose your mind up in here.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the one time 50 Cent was playing, I was like, y'all know who this is? And nobody knew who it was. I was in complete shock, man.
Oh,
man. I was like, it's crazy. Oh, like, wow. I'm telling you, some of these younger kids, because you got to think about it. If they're 16, 15, that's like an 11th grader right now. Like, where were they? Is like 2005 they were born, 2004. Jeez. Like, they don't know that stuff. Like,
they weren't even alive. They weren't even alive when the Twins.
Yeah, they know 50 from Power.
Right.
Yeah, like they don't know him from singing. So that's one thing that I was like, oh man, that's shocking to me.
Yeah, that's crazy how it's a 10-year gap, but that 10 years is so. It's so big, you know what I'm saying? And like personality, music, all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't even tell you who the artist was that they said. I forget. It was Little Something.
Wait, one of the little out there?
Yeah, one of those L.I.L. Oh, like,
See, in our day, we had a little Bow Wow, we had a little Wayne, you know what I'm saying? And now there's just too many.
Yeah, now Eminem's a joke and MGK is the guy. Like, I don't know.
Right. What's going on out here?
It's crazy how so much stuff changes like that. Just the difference in the music, the culture. It's look how big social media is now. Like, could you imagine if we were walking around with the cameras and the vines in school, like stuff they would have caught?
Yeah. To even think like we couldn't have our cameras and phones in school. Now they're issued in school. I mean, that's another one of those things.
Yeah, they give them iPads.
Yeah, you get a whole iPad to walk around with in school all day. Man, if I had my cell phone in my pocket at lunch, I was getting out of school suspension.
Even in basic, you gotta think about basic too. Here's a story for you. In basic, you know how they take your phones in the beginning of in our basic, we had a guy who went back and stole them back.
Oh man,
that's he's a brave dude, and it's like it was so dumb. There's like one drill sergeant on campus. It was a holiday, and when he was taking them out to the decaf. Guy like went down to like the one door outside underneath the Jesus. Can't even think of it. Underneath like the pavilion. And he got our phones back. Like
the drill sergeant.
And people were recording stuff and I still don't know how we didn't get caught. Like how he didn't get caught. Because like it was like probably 2 weeks before we were about to be out. So I think they just let us go because they had to know. Like, think about some of the dumb stuff people did there. Like, you're on an army base, you're walking around with camelbacks, and you're trying to sneak to the PX. Like, that's the craziest thing now that I think about it. Like, yeah.
It's a dead boy.
Right, you're sticking out like a sore thumb. Now that we know what we know, and we've been...
That's a trainee.
Yeah, now that we've been in actual active duty, we know what it looks like. We're like, oh, yeah, you're alone.
And, we have people who do it. Like, when you go to church on Sunday... Stop by the PX and you're selling candy bars for $10-$15. But you don't think about you're like when you're there, like, oh, they're not gonna catch me when everybody there is working. Like they know you got a camelback on, you're not supposed to be in here.
Joe Song gonna pull right up to your company talking about, hey Battle, I seen your boy over here.
Exactly. Like it.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, man. Good times. That's a good time. I asked about the music because I wanted to segue into what you've been bumping. You know, by request, you know what I mean? Bring back the segment, let people know what you've been listening to for the week, what you get motivated by. I'll let you guys start off. What y'all been bumping recently?
Marcellus, you go ahead.
Hold on, let me scroll on to my title.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I was on some throwback stuff the last few days. I don't know if y'all know who Junior is. He's an old school artist, but he got this song Mama Used to Say. Take your time, young man. Mama used to say, bro. I don't know why. I play it in the morning when I'm getting up, brushing my teeth, and I feel so motivated by that song. So definitely go check it out. Mama Used to Say by Junior. That's on my list for the week.
Okay. So my song I've been playing a lot is called Put You On by Dani Lee.
Ooh, she's a good artist.
Yeah, I like Dani Lee a lot.
She's a great artist.
Her album was fire. She released it like
it's on fire.
A few months ago. It was great. It was pretty good. I liked it a lot.
I'm going to definitely have to check it out because I like her Imported. I think that's the song that she had with Black. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She got songs with DaBaby. Oh, no, I don't know. I think it out with
Hey, when you get what you do, man, I get, you know what I'm saying? People are with
nah,
it.
Nah, man, them folks charging $20,000 50K
yeah, you think about it, yeah, the baby and all the mother guys.
Drake said something like he charged. I thought it was a verse. I'm like, what?
Who?
I thought it was you a verse. 500 a verse.
Drake.
500. Woo. Sheesh.
But if you think about it, Drake on the track, that's 2 million plays.
Yeah, but you put Drake on the track, I mean, it's a hit. It's already on the radio. Mm-hmm.
He's
it's definitely a hit. What you been bumping, man, Gracie?
My daughter is in the country music now. So she listens to like Luke Bryan type stuff. Like, bro, I hear one margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot, and like she's dancing. So I'm like, I bet you hear enough times, and I'm like, man, this something. You know, this guy's pretty good. You know, so
yeah.
Up here in the mountains, little country, the last couple weeks, Pretty soothing too. Like you feel a little calmed down after you listen to something a little bit slower.
Yeah, it's definitely a different rhythm. I listen to all types of music. When I was deployed in Afghanistan, you know, we had to take the bus from where we stayed over to where we worked. And every morning, you know what I mean, the bus driver just had his music on. And there's a couple crunk country songs, man. There's definitely a couple crunk country songs that I got in my playlist hidden down there. I ain't listened to them in a while, but they definitely in there.
Hey, that's where I got to expose the country music down in Georgia, in the Army. So,
yeah, for sure, bro. And that's one of the most awesome things. Like, it's crazy. Me and Marcellus were talking about before you got on. You know what I mean? The Army is just it's an experience you can't explain. You have to go through it in order to understand it. And that's just one of the things, you know, like you said, you got exposed to country music down in Georgia. I mean, I ended up moving to Texas and staying in Texas. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Just, and it,
I mean,
you know what's so crazy about the Army is like, it changes you, but it's for a good reason. It's like you will go to basic and then get deployed. And then when you come home and sometimes you realize the people that you were hanging out with, like, aren't the best people for you. Like, you'll leave and you'll come back, right, and you're like, man, you're still doing this. And it's sort of like a thing where you thought,
right,
man. And then you sort of like your values may change because now you've been exposed to so many different things. So like, and it's tough because it's not like you're not friends with those people anymore. It's just like you sort of grow apart because of your interest in what you want to do.
We're different.
Right. Yeah, same way the path that you want to take in life doesn't necessarily take the same route as them. So your friendship doesn't really coexist like it used to.
And I think that's a tough thing for people when they first come back. But it's a good thing. Like you'll meet people in the Army that you'll be friends with the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, for life. For life, for sure. Like, it's funny. Like, my group of friends somehow integrated Marcellus without me.
Oh man!
Like my group of Army friends, like it's crazy. Had the same group of Army friends that we were never stationed at the same duty station. Never.
It was like six people. Like we all were intertwined somehow. Yeah. Me, like, and later on, me Isaiah, like, but you know this person? Like, yeah, that's my boy. Like, how do you know this person?
Yeah, straight up. Like
I got all the way out to Germany, and I ran into somebody that Isaiah was cool with back in Fort Hood.
That's crazy, man. It's
like-minded people.
It's like a little secret society.
Seriously, though, but like, it's the same thing. Like, I tell people all the time, like, the Army, same when you go to college and you're away from those people that you've been with in high school for a long time. And it's like, you find people that have the same goals as you, they aspire to do something that maybe is like what you want to do and sort of just click with them. Like, I tell people all the time, right, like, the people that are really special, the people that keep coming back in your life. Like when you were younger, like if you can still talk to some of those people throughout this entire journey, then like that's when you know like something's meant to be. They're the ones there for you. So
right.
Sort of like you two, like I've
right.
That's, yeah, like I know genuine. You two have known each other for a while, and for that relationship to still be here after all those years, it's amazing.
Right. Yeah, definitely, man.
Dude, Bracey, I know you since eighth grade,
just a couple kids growing up in them Lebanon streets.
Yeah, we're almost Marcellus, 10 years removed from high school. Like the second, I gotta keep it censored though, you know, with the last part.
Oh man, good time.
Oh, seriously,
good time.
Definitely, man. Well, we get into about that time, man. I definitely want to thank you, Bracey, for coming on to the episode. It was amazing. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy to hear that you're doing great, man, doing what you love, helping the future, you know what I mean, molding kids to be better men. You know what I'm saying? It's just amazing, man. Thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on the podcast. It's definitely nice to get to talk to you fellas again. And I appreciate you guys for the support. And I know you guys are doing big things. Marcellus, I know that you have big goals and you're going to accomplish them. I know your work ethic and what you're doing. So for both you guys, I just keep grinding. Like, keep grinding.
Always, man. We're gonna tell you the same, man. Anybody wanna shout out?
Ah man, I can't have no shout out. I'm 0-2.
<He's there>. we got to bring you back at the end of the senior season. We got to bring you back.
Yeah, definitely. Then maybe we get some shout outs, but we got some work to do yet.
Hey, Will, we got to do like you do with jerseys.
Oh, I got
exchange
you.
Shirts.
Right. Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, you got some merch. Definitely got to exchange.
I got you some. Send me the address. I'll send some over.
For sure.
All right, man. I'll send you something too. Just send me the address. Shirts are still out, guys.
Yep.
We are about at 30% of our stock sold. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get your shirts. We got a couple of people we can shout out that got some shirts. Diana Hernandez got one. Dominique Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Quinny got one. So thank you to all you guys who purchased, and we'll keep looking out for you.
For sure. We are almost at 5K plays, y'all, 4.9. Just want to thank y'all, everybody who tunes in every week, anytime we put out an episode. You are greatly appreciated. I love the feedback. I mean, come talk to us on the Facebook page. You know what I'm saying? Let us know some topics you'd like to hear. Let us know how you felt about the episode. Even talk to us about, you know what I mean, something on the episode. If you want to talk about it, I'm always down to debate and stuff. Just get at us, man. We're here for the people, because if you've ever listened to the first episode, this is the podcast by the people, for the people. I'm just here to have everybody have a good time, man. I want to end it on the quote that I started it with. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are. And that's JP Morgan. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, positivity, prosperity.